This is episode 262, recorded July 10th, 2015. Packard pokes at, it rubs the semen on her skin or else it gets Pat Robertson. I want to thank Tor Varen from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
So when are we all going to Wally World?
I have one down the street. You don't mean Walmart. I'm sorry. That's what I call Walmart out here. I call it Wally World.
Yeah, we do too.
I'm going there after the show. Anybody want to join me? We can buy the whole store out and start our own. Build one across the street.
Yay.
And join us from the far east coast is Paul Torville of News Undies.
Hey, how much is that doggy in the window?
The one with the waggly tail?
Yeah, that's the one.
We'll be getting into an interview with Paul later this evening, so stick around for that. We usually have a little warm-up banter here, but we're not having that tonight, apparently.
Oh. Put us in cold, coach. We're ready to play today.
Oh, great. Thanks. I've got that song running through my head. And my music library is gone.
My business is done here. Thank you. Drops the mic.
Yeah. Just walk in the room, raise your finger, blow a massive fart, and then walk out.
I just have one thing to say. Drop.
Oh, you're going to try to kill me. Try to kill me here.
Did you tell him, Paul? Secret. I trusted you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Ladies don't fart.
Actually, before we get started, I did want to mention something really quick here because this has kind of been real big news. It's not a story we're covering tonight, but I did want to address it briefly, is that down in South Carolina, they did take that goddamn Confederate flag down finally. And now we just need to move on to Mississippi, get that little thing off of their flag, and we get rid of that emblem of hate. So,
yeah,
it's about damn fucking time.
Yeah, and one of the things that I observed about that was that they had the they had a color guard, and they were making like a big deal about honoring the flag as they took it down and all this kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you know, it's been 150 years now.
Yeah, it's time to come down
since that was representative of anything that was like extant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As John Cleese once said, a going concern.
Yes,
it's been a growing concern for 150 years.
Yeah.
A Tulsa woman is behind bars because she did something that I have never, ever heard of. She cut up a corpse. Well, I've heard of people cutting up a corpse. That's notwithstanding. But she had such a hatred for the woman that was in the casket there at the funeral because it was her ex-boyfriend's girlfriend, so that she decided to attack the corpse. I've hated on people when I was younger. I try not to hate on people anymore. But I have never hated somebody so much that I wanted to go up and attack their dead body. That takes a special kind of lunacy. I'm just saying. Her name is Shanna Lauren Sims, age 26. She was arrested this last Thursday at the funeral home. The family members of the deceased woman called the police after the witness, the woman Sims, putting her hands into the casket. When the officers responded, they found that the corpse's face was smeared with makeup and slashed with a large vertical cut from the hairline stretching from the tip of the nose. That takes a special kind of hate. I mean, yeah. that's so bizarre. There is nothing. There are people, you know, when what's-his-face Phelps died, I hated that guy. I really did. I don't hate him that much. I'm just saying. If I would have had the opportunity, I still wouldn't have done it. You're going to put the knife in my hand, I go, no, I'm not going to do it. It's pointless. What are you going to do? Sew him back up and then, you know, or take him to the hospital? No, they're dead. They're not feeling it. You're basically, you might as well have tacked an armchair at that point. Really? I mean, come on. Where's your brain, woman? Where is your brain? Kind of your thoughts.
Well, she previously assaulted another woman, and evidently, and I think this is over her husband, who she's married to this guy, and he had an ex-girlfriend, a couple of them, and Sims is jealous of both of them. She attacked, you know, she bumped into the Perez woman when Perez went to go ahead and get a restraining order against Sims, and Sims has the baby on her hip, and she bumps into the woman and says, "This woman just attacked my baby," right?
Yeah.
So, well, the woman Perez, Sims had been harassing her, following her, slashing her tires. I mean, just because she's jealous of this woman who isn't even seeing her husband, you know. And anyway, so they looked at the court tape and they say, yeah, actually, the Sims woman is the one who attacked this other gal. But they deferred that assault, all this assault charges against her for 18 months, said, you just stay out of trouble. Well, evidently she can't, because a month later, here she attacks this corpse. It got worse. I mean, they found she actually cut off some of the corpse's hair. When they went to cremate the woman, who died of natural causes, evidently she had a disease. It was but the woman who died, they found that Sims had cut off a toe and one of the woman's breasts also.
I when I was younger, I would kind of joke about this kind of shit. It's like, hey, just leave me your boobs when you die, you know. But I wouldn't just like, no, that's no squishy there.
This woman, and now her husband has got a restraining order against her because he's worried for himself and his child. I thought, yeah.
I would, too.
I don't think that she's going to care about the restraining order, though. Ooh. I think she'll walk right through it and do what she wants.
Yeah.
You look at the smirk on this woman's face in her mugshot, and I'm going, damn, lady. Yes. You have some serious problems. Sanity ain't one of them, because you rode that crazy bus all the way downtown, and you're just on a loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing. I find jealousy so repugnant. I mean, but this is like, this is way over the edge of jealousy. I don't know. Was she expecting him to climb in with the body and say, you know, hey, we're going to have some fun while my wife's away, you know? Come on now. I mean, jeez.
How bad is she in bed when she's threatened by a corpse?
Oh, my God. Right?
Sorry.
No, that's a great point. Hey, that corpse can fuck better than I am. Oh, well, fuck. That ain't soft anymore, lady. Just saying. From what I heard, I don't know. Paul, your thoughts?
Shayna Lauren Sims. As I understand it, she's one of the Sim City Sims.
That's the Halloween edition, Paul?
Yes, right. So she gave the dead lady a haircut, and she cut her down from the hairline to the tip of the nose. She smeared makeup all over, and I didn't see the thing about the toe and the breast, but she stole a shoe. What in the hell is going on here? A shoe?
My shoe! It's mine! My shoe! Mine, I stole it myself!
And I don't understand. I mean, like, normally when I've been to an open casket funeral, and I've been to a few, it's only the top half of the casket that's open. So yeah. How did she get to the shoe? And if it was only half open, why did they even bother putting a shoe on her? Because, I mean, when they dress the corpse, typically it's like, you know, okay, well, we put a suit jacket and a shirt front on them, and the back of the suit's all cut out,
mm-hmm.
and yep. then there's no pants, and there's no shoes, and there's no – because why? Why would you need to do any of that?
Oh, now you got me wondering, on women, do they put the panties on and everything, too? Or just was, you know.
Yeah.
Packard.
I'm sorry. You just got me thinking about it now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in the dress, I mean, what would be the point? You know, it's like, hey, whoa, oh my gosh, that dress is see-through. Could you imagine your last moments on Earth is like, hey, everybody's looking at Mike's snatch.
That's hot.
Well, I guess it went at a nudist funeral, but
yeah. Well, yeah. There you go. Oh, nice. Okay, there's another image in my head I don't need.
Thanks a lot for that one. I'm looking at this mugshot.
No,
did either of you ever see Nixon, that 1995 Oliver Stone movie?
No, that one I haven't seen.
Oh man! So there's this scene where Anthony Hopkins as Nixon and oh God, what is his name? It's not David Strathairn. It's the other guy. Can't think of him. But anyway, the guy who played Richard Helms they're in this office talking to each other, and there's this one spot where. Richard Helms is smelling a flower, and then he lifts his gaze up to Nixon and opens his eyes wide, and his eyes are pure black.
Ugh.
And it's like totally freaking creepy. And her mugshot looks just like him.
Yeah. Oh my God! You know what? It, because of the way her eyes are and her mascara is,
yep.
And it's like she's got black eyes. Yeah. That woman has no soul. Oh wait a minute! Nobody has a soul.
Those black eyes, those lifeless eyes, like a doll's eyes.
Like a doll, yes.
Doesn't even seem to be living until it bites you. Those eyes roll over white. Oh, and then you hear that horrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red.
Oh, God.
They all come in and rip your pieces. I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Who are you trying to think of? Is it Alderman?
No. Oh, damn it. He was also in Capricorn 1.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, the cabinet. I'm sorry. You're trying to think which historical figure. It was
Richard Helms, CIA director.
Helms.
Was the character. But.
Sam Waterston.
There you go.
I've got a wiki page open. So.
Yes.
Sam oh, okay. Waterston.
Yeah, and he looks up and his eyes are just like he's wearing full black contact lenses, and it's just like, whoa!
that is creepy. We had a comment from the chat room here. Dawkins, Rohypnol, the aphrodisiac for the man who doesn't want to try too hard.
Or a cosmic.
I think that woman should have, she probably should have had a little Rohypnol for herself before she went to that funeral. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And then she would have looked like Nick Nolte. Hair is east.
Might be a good look for her.
Who gives themselves date rape drug? I mean, come on.
It's not rape if you do it to yourself. Just say it.
No means no unless you say it to yourself.
That's right. Then it's always yes.
Yes. Terrain, pull up.
Anybody got an airplane sound of a sound of an airplane crashing? Tonight we have Paul Torville from News Undies. Paul, I have a few questions for you. All right. Were you religious? And if you were, how did you come to your non-belief?
Wow. All right. Well, I was raised in a loosely Catholic household. I was the baby of three kids. So by the time I came along, my parents were already kind of burned out on raising children and like going through all the expected stuff. So my brother and my sister had both been they had both been confirmed and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But by the time I came along, the vigor with which apparently my brother and sister were trained in the ways of the Jesus and everything kind of deflated. And so, you know, we went to church pretty regularly, but, you know, it was me and my mom or, you know, and not my dad. And so that sort of raised a little question in my head. It's like, well, why isn't dad going? And then I started, like, asking all the wrong questions in catechism and all this kind of thing, you know. The standard, you know, if God is all-powerful, can he make a rock so heavy that he himself can't lift it?
I love that question. They can never answer that one.
Yeah, you know, it's a standard thing. And eventually I got to First Communion, and there was a death in the family. A baby died of, you know, sudden infant death syndrome. And I was 10 at that point, and I was already starting to question a lot of this stuff. And by that time, I was like, you know, this is completely retarded. This is dumb. You know, how could, you know, a merciful, loving God do this?
Right.
And I think I basically checked out around that time. I mean, at the age of 8, I was kind of like done with it, but at 10, I was like, I'm really done. And then I came out to my mother when I was 14, and she was stunned. She was totally aghast. I mean, I hadn't been to Sunday school, and I never went to confirmation or anything like that. But when I came out and said I don't think there's a God, she's like, well, fine, then we just won't do Christmas anymore. You won't get any Christmas presents.
Oh my God.
And my first thought is, okay, I'm 14 years old. Christmas presents for me now amount to socks and the occasional bathrobe. All right. That's a threat. You know?
I got socks up the ass here. I don't need any more.
Yeah. I'm two years away from earning my own socks. So yeah, that was an interesting little turn of events. But
wow.
There was no actual retribution or anything like that.
Well, that's good at least.
Yeah.
My next question here is, and I ask this of everybody, how did you come up with the name News Undies for your channel? I mean, it's a great hook. I'm just wondering, where did you come up with the name for it?
Well, you've heard of a news brief.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So,
now I got it together.
Undies is just a more general term. You could have an info thong, you know, for a short story. You could have maybe a union suit for a long story. I don't know. It was one of these things where it was like nobody else was doing it as far as I could tell. So I was like, all right, I'll go with that.
it's great. I mean, I would have never thought of that. I was just like, it's just a play on words, actually. Yeah, so that's cool.
All it is. The unfortunate thing about it, though, is every time if I do a Google search on News Undies, it'll say, did you mean new undies? And like all the search results are, you know, underwear and lingerie and stuff. And it's like, no, that's not what I meant. And I'm sure everybody else, when they Google this, you know, coming across the same thing. And it's like, I hate you, Google. Stop being helpful.
Put quotes around it. That helps.
Yeah.
What inspired you to become a YouTuber? I mean, to get onto YouTube and do the news like the way you do it. I mean, and it's brilliant. I mean, you actually prepare.
Well, yeah, but you know, the nice thing about the way I'm doing it is, if I'm 3 hours late to start a shoot, I'm not making anybody sad but me.
Oh.
And believe me, it happens 3 hours late. What got me started? Well, my father passed away. I ended up inheriting some money, and I decided that one of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to get into video editing. And since I had some cash, I thought, well, you know, this would be a good time to invest in a little bit of gear and start doing something. And you know, I had toyed with the idea of doing like a like an episodic comedy or drama or something like that, or like a short film or whatever. And the thing of it is, the difficulty that I was coming up with was having a set of or a range of material that I could do an iterative production thing, right? To keep coming back and improving the technique and improving the technique and not worrying so much about the content. And because, you know, writing a good, compelling story is a hard thing to do. And so to be in a situation where it's like, okay, well, I've made this short film, set it aside. Now I go back into writing to write, you know, a half hour film, and I can't do any production now for 6 months while I'm writing the stupid script. And then I've got to get people involved and all this kind of crap. Mm. So I wanted to come up with something that I could do just me.
Okay.
That would be iterative. That is, I could keep going back to the well and keep working on improving my production techniques, because, I mean, I assume you've seen the credits at the end of the show.
Oh, you know? Yes.
There's the lighting, there's the prompter, there's the graphics, there's all these kinds of things, you know. And it's like, I don't know if you've looked at like the early 2009 shows.
Oh, wow.
But they're really stripped down, really rudimentary, and you know, I'm reading off of paper, you know, and I wasn't working at the time. I had taken some time off from work, and I was spending 40 hours a week putting together a 10-minute show.
Wow.
You know, trying to find the stories that were suitable, you know, rewriting my own take on those stories, you know, doing three drafts of a script, printing everything out, doing the proofing, doing the punch up, all this kind of stuff, then going down to the studio and shooting it. That took a couple hours. And then, you know, to go into editing and manually typing in the freaking what do you call them, the titles in the bottom and all that kind of stuff, the lower thirds and everything. It was just a nightmare. And so I started developing software to facilitate writing the scripts and developing the graphics and all this other kind of stuff. And it's become a much more streamlined process. I'm putting together a 20 minute show in under 8 hours. Around 20 hours a week. So I've doubled the length of the show and cut the production time in half.
Nice.
Okay, that's cool. My next question here is, do you watch other YouTube channels at all? I mean, is there a YouTube channel out there that you like really well, other than, you know, Packard Pokes At?
Yeah, well, I dig Packard Pokes At. I love Crash Course. Are you guys familiar with Crash Course?
Oh, no.
I'm not, actually.
Dude, you got to get into Crash Course.
Okay.
John Green and his brother Hank Green, the Vlog Brothers. I don't know if you know those guys.
That sounds familiar.
No, not for me.
Okay. John Green is also an author. He wrote The Fault. He wrote the novel The Fault in Our Stars, which was recently a major motion picture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Okay. But for a few years now, they've been doing these courses. Like John will do like world history and U.S. history and literature, and Hank will do science-related topics like biology and physiology and physics and chemistry and all these other things. And they do like Crash Course World History is, I think, 40 episodes and, you know, 10 to 15 minutes apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really well done, and they've got animations in them and all that kind of stuff. They're really good. They're really bright guys, and they do really good work, and they got really good teams working with them.
That's cool.
So yeah, the Crash Course stuff is great. Hank Green also does a series of things called SciShow, which usually it's just a little like 5 minute video.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, one or two topics, and it's just him standing in front of a green screen talking about things.
Hmm.
Like the space mission New Horizons going to Pluto.
Oh, you know, cool.
Oh, well, New Horizons is going to Pluto. It's going to be there in 8 days, and hooray. And here's what we expect to find out, all this kind of thing. So,
oh, that's cool.
Nice. Thank you.
So, so their stuff is really cool. Veritasium, I really like his stuff. Also science-related stuff. Kurzgesagt, which I think it's a German group that does it, but it's the and narrator is English.
I have some other follow up questions here.
Sure. Yeah.
How do you go about producing your videos? How do you edit them and make them?
All right. Well, let's see. It starts with story tips. So on the News Undies website, there's a page, you know, story tips, and it's just a forum. You put your name and you put a tip in there. So I go mining on the web for weird news stories, and I just drop them in there. Those get written to a file on my web server. And then usually – so shoot day is Thursday typically. So by Monday I'm starting to get into pulling stories together, pulling source material together for the upcoming episode. So if other people submit story tips, that's great. You know, they'll get a mention in the end of the show. And I actually want to start doing a thing where either, you know, story tip of the month will either get like a mug or a t-shirt or something
like
that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
But so I pulled the story tips together, and I've got this web application that I wrote that I mentioned it before that facilitates me writing the stories. And I can, you know, like I take a 1 hour lunch break from work. So I'll go to like Burger King, I'll borrow their Wi-Fi and I'll be working on stories up during lunch, you know? Cause it's like, I gotta milk every hour I can to get this stuff done.
We take at least, you know, a good couple of hours a week just to put a show together. Sometimes a couple hours just to put a half hour show together.
That's crazy. But you have the benefit of doing this live. You know,
wait. We're live? Holy shit. No.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I didn't even fix my hair, you know.
Is my makeup just right?
Did Maggie make a break?
So, so it's typity-typity-type. And then and as part of the writing process, I'm writing the headlines. I'm writing what I call the crawl text. It's not actually crawl text. Mm-hmm. But if you look on the screen when I'm doing the show, there's a monitor behind me. And on that monitor, there's the story type, which is like, you know, these headlines. And then under that, there's a headline. And then under that, there's two blocks of text. And so as I'm developing the stories, I'll also develop that information and the tags that are going to end up in the YouTube video. So I'm typing. I'm doing all that stuff. And then finally, when I'm satisfied with it, I hit pack and it develops a zip file that I can download. And that's got the slides for the prompter, the graphics for behind me, and a couple of different versions of the script formatted in different ways because they do different things with them.
That's cool. You said hit pack. I remember getting hit. I mean sometimes you get bruises randomly, but I didn't know where they were coming from. My last question here is what do you do outside of the News Undies? I mean, do you have a regular job? Do you hunt puppies? I mean, what do you do for money?
Well, hunting puppies is good. The pelts are, you know, depending on what puppies you're getting.
This is true. The some of those good felts, you get a good market on those. Some of those felts. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. I work in IT. I work in network security, actually.
Ooh.
So
I'm locking my computers down now. Just
good choice. I'm more systems administrator side than like, you know, breaking into stuff side. So
okay,
so that's what I do, and I've been working in IT since 1997. So, I think I'm pretty much stuck there.
Okay.
And I'd love to make a living doing the News Undies show, but. 6 years in, I haven't made a dime yet.
I hear you. I hear you. We could talk about some stuff I just figured out just recently myself after doing this for 4 years. at the end of the after we get off air.
Sure.
Maybe we could help you try to figure that out. Anyway, Connie, did you have any thoughts for Paul?
Yeah, I'm curious whether, you know, did you go to film school at all when you were, where'd your knowledge about all of the tech side of producing this come from?
I'm kind of an autodidact, really. I've been interested in movie production since I was a wee lad. Star Wars just made my head explode, and Jaws is still my favorite movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I read there were actually two books published that were about the making of the movie Jaws, and I soaked that up. And when Star Wars, the making of Star Wars stuff came out, I soaked that stuff up, and I watch almost every making of featurette of every DVD that I buy.
those are really fascinating. I like those too.
Yeah, and so once I had a rough idea. I'd worked in broadcasting before. I've been doing like radio spoof radio commercials since I was 14 years old. So, you know, the principles of production, you know, like the idea of let's have the set quiet and let's point the camera in the right direction and all that kind of that I had figured out. The trick was getting comfortable with the video editing software.
Yeah.
Which I use, believe it or not, I use iMovie.
Oh, yeah, that's what I use, too, for my editing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I tried using Final Cut, and I was like, the workflow on this is way too complicated for what I'm doing.
Yeah,
way too complicated. So,
I myself use both, but I use iMovie more than I use Final Cut. Final Cut is powerful, but you really got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, it's just like what the hell is this and what the hell is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have in mind maybe to do a bigger future project at some point? Obviously, this is something that fuels every week, and that's the beauty of the news is that you do have new material. You're not having to totally invent everything, but you are repackaging it and putting your spin on it. But you were saying you were thinking about making some short movies. Are you still planning on doing that sometime in the future, or?
Yeah, I mean, like for instance, I've got a couple of spoof commercials in development. But the thing that's hard for me about that, like, Packard, I mentioned this when we were talking a couple of days ago, is I have a little bit of difficulty trusting other people to be where I need them on time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to launch a couple of projects, and there was a spoof commercial I wanted to do for a product called I Can't Believe It's Not Polyunsaturated Safflower Oil. And I was in the sketch comedy group, and I was trying to get the people that were in the sketch comedy group with me. They knew what I was capable of writing. In fact, we had done the exact script for this commercial on stage. They knew the material. And I had gotten in touch with a diner, and they were going to let me come in after they closed and do some shooting and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we had worked out what day it was going to be. And I get in touch with the people that had said they were interested in being involved. And, you know what? I've got a thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, one person saying, hey, I've got a thing, the whole thing goes down the toilet. Everything falls apart.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you always hear about somebody starts a band and then the lead singer shows up drunk or the lead guitarist ego melts everything down. And it's like, I don't have any patience for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. I can understand
And that's,
that.
That's why I work with puppets. You know,
you like to pull those strings,
I put my hand up the pig's backside and he does exactly what I want him to do.
But you take him out to dinner later. So. It's all good.
I do. You know, chocolates on Valentine's Day.
You actually answered my next question too. Did you do stand up? And you said you were part of a comedy improv kind of a group, I guess. So that's interesting to know too.
I've actually only done stand up once, and I was terrified, and the room was terrible.
That's right. Blame the room.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. This is bad. This was like a little club, and there was a couple in the back who were talking so loud that that the people near them couldn't hear the PA over them.
Damn, that's fucking loud. Were they having sex?
I could hear them. I could have carried on a conversation with them from the stage.
Damn.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, this is no good.
I did have a couple of follow-up questions since you kind of mentioned that. You have Pig and Sheep, which do this, banter back and forth, like the opposing viewpoints. And then you have Moose Weintraub. I mean, how did you come to the creation of these characters?
All right, well, Sheep, if you follow the show, you probably pick up on the fact that Sheep's a conservative Christian.
Yeah.
So the puppets themselves, you familiar with IKEA?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So around 2009, 2010, for a couple of Christmases there, IKEA had hand puppets.
Oh, really?
Yes. In like the kids, the nursery section of the store, they had all these different hand puppets. They had pigs and they had sheep and they had moose and they had sharks and cows and horses and chickens, and I was like, this is a gold mine. and they're like $5 a piece. I'm just stuffing them into the crook of my arm, you know? And so I ended up getting like, you know, 5 pigs and 5 sheep and 5 mooses and I, you know, 2 each of the chickens and the fish and the horses and the cows. And I just, you know, I took them all home because you don't want to have just one puppet.
No.
You got to have a stunt puppet, right?
Well, if you have one puppet and you're doing things with that, that's disturbing, especially if there's no music playing. I'm just saying.
Right. Yes. But if it's an orgy.
That's right. It's an orgy of them. That's a different story.
Totally different story. So I had all these things and I saw sheep. And I was like, the sheep puppet. And I was like, okay, that's a Christian conservative automatically, right?
Okay.
So, but then pig, I don't know. I just, pigs are supposed to be smart, you know, all this kind of thing. And pig is kind of like my alter ego.
Oh.
Pig is the conduit for my opinion.
Gotcha.
In that thing, and sheep is a pure straw man. it's unadulterated straw man, but you know it's not that far off the mark of what they're actually saying in the conservative Christian community.
Ah, that's true.
So, and then Moose Weintraub. Have you ever seen the movie Airplane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a throwaway joke in the first act of Airplane, where Elaine is walking down the aisle. She's got the magazines in the crook of her arm, and she comes up to this old lady, and she says, would you like anything to read? And the old lady says, do you have anything light? And she thumbs through the thing. She's, oh, this leaflet, Famous Jewish Sports Legends.
I remember that one.
And so I've got this moose puppet, and I'm thinking moose. That's the name of a sportscaster, you know, like an ex-professional athlete who is now doing sports reporting. And of course, Famous Jewish Sports Legends. Well, he'd have to have a name like Weintraub or Goldberg or something like that,
right?
So Moose Weintraub. And then the gag at the beginning was, and again, you'd have to go back to I think 2010 to see these. But and they're all up on the channel. But I had originally written a set of 40 sports half minute episodes, and I recorded them all in one go. So it wasn't current news. What it was obscure sports like bicycle polo and dressage and, you know, like. Really? You know, professional skee ball, you know, all these kinds of things.
Professional skee ball.
Wow. Yeah. And if you look at the Sports Half Minute, the opening theme I think is 17 seconds long, and the closing theme is like 4 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
The whole segment is supposed to be 30 seconds, so that leaves Moose with like 12 seconds to say something of something pithy, and so. The thing he was supposed to say was always like 15, 20, 25 seconds long.
Right.
So he's always getting cut off mid-sentence by the closing theme. So that was like the gag for the first, I don't know, 60 segments. And I ran out of obscure sports. I mean, Kyber Toss and I really. And once you get to the Highland Games, it's like I'm running out of stuff. So then I switched to regular sports news.
I noticed that on one of them. Or a couple of them, Moose got like really pissed off. It's yes. Like, what the hell's going on? It's like, what? You're always cutting me off, and now I've got like 20 seconds here. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, yeah. That was an aborted attempt to add, you know, like a subplot, like
right.
A story arc. And it never really panned out. But I may still try to do that later.
I would like to have seen where that went to, because contract dispute or something, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, a couple episodes later, there was a thing on the Passcast Weather where the background was switched and it was Moose's picture.
I think I saw that one.
that was inspired by the teleprompter change in Anchorman.
Oh.
Oh. Yes, I just recently watched that for the first time. It was a funny
it's
movie.
McGee.
So, someone in the chat room here said your past cast weather is actually more accurate than the regular weather. Just saying.
Do you know what the source of the past cast weather is?
No, that's a good question. Where is the source of that?
It's the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the map that I have back there, it's broken out into the same kinds of segments as in the Old Farmer's Almanac. And so basically what I do is they break the United States up into 16 parts, and I just go through 3 segments at a time. And so whatever the week is, whatever the sections of the country are, I just pull them out of the thing and make a couple of little notes, and then extemporaneously read the notes and burble. That's it.
There you go. Over here it was hot. Over there it was cold. And you, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, and things are going to start getting weirder as the year goes on. So
oh, I am looking forward. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to like, and the sun is about to come down and melt us or some bullshit.
oh gosh!
Thought it was just crazy Christians trying to break the United States into a bunch of sections. Well, they are too.
I say we give him Texas and
yeah.
Happy.
Oh yes, please.
We had a couple of questions from the chat room here. Torvin wanted to know: are the clocks in your videos a joke?
No, the clocks are not. The clocks. If you notice, the clocks are all set to the same time, mm-hmm. but there's the little white strips underneath. Mm-hmm. All. The gag there was supposed to be, and it still is, but I haven't updated them in the last couple of weeks. But the gag there is, if you look at on the old newscasts in the 70s or whatever, they'd have a clock for each time zone.
Yeah.
And a city name under it. So and it was horizontally across the top of the wall on the
right.
set. My clocks are arranged vertically, and all the cities are in the same time zone.
Oh.
And they're all set to the same time.
That's a nice gag. Like,
and
yeah.
Nobody has caught it yet.
They will now.
Well, yeah, now that I let the cat out of the bag. Sure.
Well, somebody was questioning it, so yeah. Probably cluing in on that one. Let's see here.
Paul Marshall.
Someone asked another one here. There's a dressage. Oh, it's from Dawkins Dog. Dressage sports for the infeminate horses.
Yes.
Dressage, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, is that the correct pronunciation?
Dressage. Actually, dressage. Yeah. Right.
Well, that just makes it even
more.
It's
a French
feminine.
Word, I think.
Yeah, sure. It's for like French dancing horses, I guess. I don't know. But the real Paul Marshall wants to know: has Moose covered downhill cheese racing yet?
Oh, I don't think he has. I don't think he has. The downhill cheese racing that was featured in Spinal Tap, wasn't it?
That's actually a thing. That is actually a scene. I've seen they get these gigantic rolls of Gorgonzola or whatever the fuck the cheese is, and they they chase it down the goddamn hill. And if you get the hill is not like real smooth. It's like, you know, fairly bumpy and whatnot, and the cheese bounces around quite a bit, and it's fairly steep, and there's serious injury. But if you win and you get down there with the cheese, you win the cheese, which has been rolled in all the grass and crap.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is just great on cheese. Great on crackers. You know?
Nothing improves the flavor of cheese like chlorophyll. There is an old, I think it was either, it might have been on Saturday Night Live, when Christopher Guest was on Saturday Night Live, and they did a thing about the cheese rolling, and if, I don't know if that's the video, the footage that you're talking about, but if you look at the footage carefully, check to see if you see guys like Ed Begley Jr. and Christopher Guest and Michael McKean and Harry Shearer in there, because if you see those guys in there, that's a spoof.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We had another one here from Dawkins, Doug. He says, have you covered bog snorkeling? That's a real thing in the UK.
No. No. You know what, though? That might be a good thing. If people want to send in suggestions for wacky sports and do a little return to the roots for moose, I could get on board with that.
There you go. I just want to mention here, if you have a question that you would like to ask him personally, you can call in at uberconference.com/PackardPokesIt or call 857-216-3200. Use PIN number 35368. Connie, did you have any other questions while we're waiting for another question from the chat room?
So when you were 14 and making these spoof videos, were you using Super 8? Were you using VHS?
The spoof commercials that I was doing back when I was 14 were all audio. So it was just me doing silly voices on cassette tape.
Oh.
By the time I was 18, 19, I had graduated to having a multi-track recorder. I had a cassette multi-track, and I could, you know, have conversations with myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did one which was the Americans in Distress card. It was a guy and a lady in a car driving, and they were lost, and they were arguing with each other, and then an announcer comes in, and so I did all three voices, and it's been chaos since then.
Were you a fan of Dr. Demento?
I never heard Dr. Demento until I discovered the Dr. Demento CDs. So but I never heard him on the radio.
Oh, okay.
I've heard him on the radio a few times. I didn't hear about him until I actually moved up in this area. It's like, Dr. Demento. I was like, what the hell is a Dr. Demento? I was like, okay. I like it myself. Just saying.
I like the stuff he would play. I mean, I've been a Weird Al fan since his first album. You know, I've seen Weird Al twice in concert, I think.
Oh, really?
He puts on a hell of a show.
Yes, he does. I've seen him once in concert. And when I was young, younger than I am now. I had my two daughters, and they were very young at the time. And when I saw Weird Al in concert, I was like, "Let's just throw it all away and just follow Weird Al, become roadies."
Yep. Yes, the Weird Al equivalent of the Deadheads. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. If James Brown may have been the hardest working man in show business, Weird Al is definitely the hardest working man in show business now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have tremendous admiration for that guy.
Yes, we actually use quite a number of his clips here on the show, actually.
Oh, that's great.
I don't think he knows it, and I think if he did, I'd be getting a cease and desist letter in the mail.
Well, you know, that raises an interesting point, and that's one of the things that's terrified me about Newsundies, is I, you know, every once in a while I get a thing where it's like, I really wish I could put a picture up, I really wish I could play a video clip or a sound clip or something like that, and I resist because I'm terrified that somebody's going to give me a DMCA, you know, takedown notice or Sumi or something like that. So it's like, no, all the music is me. There was three occasions on which I used actual photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were from MediaWiki, so they're copyleft, mm-hmm. and I'm not worried about it. And one of them was from the J&D's website. Mm. You know, you remember Bacon A's?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. Sounds
familiar. The bacon-flavored mayonnaise?
Oh, yes. Really? Oh, yes. I've never heard of that, actually.
Oh. Yeah.
I live a sheltered life.
that is a gastronomical train wreck. Well, they came out with another bacon-flavored product called Bacon Baby. Yes, it's four servings of bacon in every serving of baby formula.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and so on the
wow.
On the can, there's this picture of a baby, and it's in a diaper on a blanket, and there's a safety pin in the diaper, and if you squint a little bit, the safety pin on the diaper looks like that's a well hung piglet.
There is an image I'm never getting out of my head.
And I could not have that picture. So I just lifted it off the website and put it up. And if J&D's is going to get mad at me, all right, I'll take that hit. But
it was worth it, man.
Yeah, oh, it was worth it. It was definitely worth it.
We had a question from Dawkins Dog. He asked, how much is the gift of comedy is the current Republican candidate fest?
You know what? It's almost too much. It's almost to the point where I can't keep up with the antics of all – what is it, 20 people now?
Yeah.
That have announced?
Roughly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 16, 18, 20 people. I can't keep up with all the antics, and they're all doing different things. Donald Trump is way out in the weeds, and it's like he's made of neutron star matter, and he's pulling the rest of the GOP along with them unwillingly. They're like – no, because and yet they can't get rid of him because he's so rich. It's amazing, and I've thought about hiving off the political, like the 2016 election thing, onto a separate show, because there's almost no room for people who lawn mow their pets and all that kind of thing. It's like. Yeah. That's comedy, you know?
Yeah.
The guy who gets pulled over driving his lawn tractor down the street to go get more beer, you know? He gets pulled over drunk on his tractor. He didn't want to drive his car, so he drove his tractor to get more beer.
Yeah.
And he gets pulled over.
We've had stories like that actually here in Wisconsin where the guy was pulled over drunk driving on his mobility scooter. I mean,
yeah.
You can't make shit up like that.
No. No, you definitely can't.
It's weird to think that the, clown cars usually have a whole lot of room, and that thing's getting crowded.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So. There's been a lot of memes like, come on, Walker. There's plenty of room, and there's like a bunch of clown going like this. You know.
Paul Marshall, it's a clown train.
Yeah, it's a clown train. Yeah, it's not a car anymore. It's a train.
Yep.
Yeah, and you've got so many people in there, like, what's the Dr. Ben Carson? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that guy's a nutball.
He's out of his freaking mind.
I know. It's like where the hell did you come up with this shit? I mean, you're supposed
to. He makes Dr. Oz look sensible.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I wouldn't let him operate on me. Just saying, or even give me a fucking prescription. I wouldn't tell if he said you got to comb your hair this way. No. Fuck you. I'm gonna comb it the other way, just because you said it. You're such a fucking crazy ball. It's like, yep. I can't trust a word out of your mouth.
Yep. Yeah. He's wild. And Ted Cruz just won't stop digging. he's out in the Nevada desert digging his own grave, and he's just happy as a clam. It's like, what the hell is the matter with you?
I know.
He ate too many green eggs and ham.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, God. Yeah. Just Ted, stop digging. Stop digging. We can just shoot you now. It's okay. You're more than 6 feet down. It's all right. He's never getting out of that hole.
He is never coming out, no.
No. And Marco Rubio, I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah.
What's he doing lately? Do you know?
I think he's packaging hot dogs at the moment. I really don't know.
I got all confused because back when I lived out in California, there was this this fish taco franchise called Rubio's, and it was I can't remember the guy's first name, but it wasn't Marco. It was like Bob Rubio or something like that, and I kept getting confused between Marco Rubio and Bob Rubio from Rubio's Fish Tacos. Like, no, it's a different guy.
I'm pretty sure that's the guy.
He might be working down at Bob's Burgers for all I know. I don't.
After the selection cycle, he probably will be.
Yes, let's please turn on the Ted Cruz control.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Put his dad out there in every commercial.
Oh yeah, there we go. That would definitely that would cinch it. That would cinch it. He'd be like, I'm out.
And the thing that really blows my mind is when you've got these people who are of, you know, non-white ethnic backgrounds or I don't know, like Ted Cruz is of Cuban extraction and Marco Rubio is of Cuban extraction. And, you know, they're disparaging Latinos.
Yeah.
And Jindal, too. Yeah, they disparage immigrants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about biting the hand that feeds you. You know, that's like that pistol. You ever seen the picture of the pistol with the barrel that points the wrong way?
Yeah.
He definitely has one of those. He's carrying one of those every time he talks.
Yes. Yeah. Just squeezing off a few rounds. Why do I have this headache?
Right. If we don't have any more questions from the chat room, Paul, where can they find your channel and any other related sites that you would like everybody to go to?
All right. The show's website is www.newsundies.com, all one word. From there, you can get to my YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is also called News Undies. If you want to submit a story tip, you go to newsundies.com, left-hand side, story tips, you're there. I'm on Twitter, at News Undies. I'm on Facebook, News Undies. Come on by. I'm on Google+ as News Undies. So come on by, watch the show, please subscribe, and all that kind of stuff.
Excellent, excellent. Can you stick around for the rest of the show with us? Excellent. All right. Before we get on to our next topic, we have a little commercial here that needs to be heard.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on Facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vonlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at Patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
I'm going slightly mad. I'm going slightly mad.
Speaking of going mad, Pat Robertson is always a treasure trove of crazy. I mean, just looking at Pat Robertson, I can't help but giggle. I'm just saying. I mean, his shoulders are so far above his head. I mean, I think he's talking out of his ass. And speaking of his and speaking of which, we actually have a video from him right now, and we're going to play that clip.
You wonder, maybe the best thing that ever happened to the world is for these crazies in ISIS to keep on beheading people and doing some of these extreme things. You know, I was reading, they had beheading in the Ottoman Empire, but from what I understand, in 100 years or so, there was only one beheading in all that time. And now we're having them. I mean, ISIS is just, and it's shocking Muslims. Listen, you've heard all this business about Islam being a religion of peace. Islam does not mean peace, it means submission. But here's a book. It's called Islam, a Religion of Peace or War. We'll be glad to give this to you free. You really need it. You need to see what's here, because they're quotes directly from the Quran, directly from the life of Muhammad, and directly from what is being done and what is being said.
Yeah, like nobody can actually, you know, go to the internet for this kind of shit. Wow. Yeah, those ISIS people, they're doing us a favor by chopping off people's heads. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. Whoa. You know, it's not doing the world a favor. It's especially not doing them a favor, the person that's getting their head chopped off. And you don't think that the religion, your Christian religion, didn't do any chopping of their heads off? I mean, do I have to mention Paul the Baptist? Bring me his head on a platter. Does that not ring a bell, Pat? Did that not ring a bell with you? It's in your own fucking Bible. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, I looked up the word submission. What I find was really interesting was that the New Testament is just replete with the word. And it seems like 9 times out of 10, it's talking about women submitting to their husbands and children submitting to their parents. But the Bible is filled with submission. You have to submit totally to God. It's mm-hmm. I don't understand where he's getting that this is so different. And I don't know. And he's talking about how ISIS is all warmongering. The whole point of the book of Revelations is that when God comes back, you know, when Jesus comes back, that there's going to be war, you know, mm-hmm. here on earth. And just, you know, they're going to come down and bring the heavenly smackdown. And anybody who doesn't comply, doesn't submit, is going to be, you know, in the end, tossed into the lake of fire. I think that sounds pretty violent to me.
Yeah, it does to me, too. We had a quick tweet come in from Dawkins. He says, Pat Robertson, like Fred Phelps, with a slightly faster pulse. For now, Pat, we'll let you keep that pulse.
God.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add on that, Connie?
I'll let you guys both take over here. I may add something later, but yeah, the Pat Robertson, our favorite random word generator.
Wow. Your thoughts, Paul?
Well, I thought it was interesting that he started off with, you know, it's best if they keep best thing in the world if they keep beheading, and then he never says why.
Yeah,
he like trails off, and then he wanders off into the weeds, and then you know, next thing it is, he's shilling his free book. it's like that guy John Schurer, the PC professor or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, buy my product. Please try my product. Try my product. Please try my product. You sad, lonely man. Get a pet. Get a gerbil.
Torvian from the chat room says, "Which was better, one head or 1,000 foreskins?"
Bada boom.
Bada boom.
Well, with foreskins, you could make a lampshade.
They go in the fryer really well, too.
Just hey, oh, never buy Grimness from a moil. It's so chewy. Boom-chee. The late Robert Williams.
He must rub the lotion in.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, wow.
Or it gets the hose again.
That was for Joe.
That's for Joe.
Yeah. He's always say. He says that a lot.
Dawkins said, for the chat room, with a severed head, you can make a lamp and howl it out. Just make sure you wear gloves. Yeah, or you can make a, or if you're really creative, you can make a bong out of it. Just saying, you know. Makes, especially when the eyes glow.
Yeah, you can make a bong out of almost anything.
God.
I bet you can make a bong out of foreskins if you were really.
That's why I didn't get into doing drugs like that, because I, hell, I'm terrible at carpentry. I'm just saying.
Oh, dear.
But no, Pat is off, is so far off the rails there. But you're right, Connie. He was like, "Well, Islam means submission." Well, yeah, it actually he is right on that one point, and that's something I learned not that long ago, and that's what it means. However, as Connie pointed out, the whole fucking Christian religion is submission. You have to submit to their imaginary friend. Do as I say. Yeah.
There is an interesting thing about that, though, which is, and I've never had a Christian sufficiently explain this to me. If God is omniscient, then free will is a non-thing.
Mm-hmm.
If there is free will, then God cannot be omniscient.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, if you submit to God's will, then you're not exercising your free will. You might as well not have free will. You don't have free will because you're submitting.
Right.
If you're given free will, but you're going to be punished for exercising it, then what the hell's the point of the free will?
Oh, yeah, head
blown. Yeah. So it's like if in Christianity you're expected to submit, in Islam you're expected to submit. If everybody submitted, then you'd have, you know, the Christians blowing up the Jews, or the Jews blowing up the Muslims, or whatever it is, and then you'd have one religion left, and everybody's submitting, and then you'd have peace. Except it doesn't work that way because there's no God.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Oh, they're just Pat is a special kind of crazy, and we love him here on the show.
Yeah,
he is comedy gold. But there is definitely a part of me that wants to like force him under great hydraulic pressure through a fine metal mesh. Just mechanically separated Pat Robertson, you know, and then just make McNuggets out of him.
Pet food. Wait. I don't know. Wait. Maybe we shouldn't and do that to our poor dogs and cats, is to subject them to a Pat Robertson burger.
Yeah. Oh. The 700 burger.
The 700 burger. message from Dawkins Doug. He says, Pat Robertson, not to be confused as Robert Patterson, both look just like the Living Dead on screen.
Do you guys ever watch Honest Trailers?
No,
yes,
I haven't.
Yeah, there's they did Honest Trailers for the Twilight series, and every time they showed Robert Pattinson on the screen, they called him Shovel Face. Shovel Face. Breathy girl.
I know. I actually, my husband likes the movies, and so I'm sitting there, and I'll be in the other room, and I'm listening, and going, oh, there's Kristen Stewart's on the screen again. You just hear her snorting through her nose and just breathing.
So sighing weird. And snorting and breathing.
It's like, oh my goodness. Oh, so true.
It's like, who's the boom guy on that set? Get him to back off her a little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking
it's
of
the Onion Radio
Times.
News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
The police out there, they're supposed to, you know, do this thing called uphold the law. But sometimes people who are even in the police department, they have a tendency to, you know, go a little irrational, especially over in New York, because they've got just so many of them over there, that a New York sergeant was actually suspended after throwing semen on a female coworker that he was enamored with. I mean, I've liked women. I've dated a number of women over the years, but not so much where I would, like, you know, take some special Packard sauce and then take and go throw it on them. Hey, I like you. Here. No, you don't do that shit. Sorry, you just don't do it. He's identified as Michael Iscano, age 54. He allegedly tossed semen onto the unidentified woman near the freight elevator, because that's where love happens, near the freight elevator. at the police.
You got room to maneuver, I suppose.
Well, yeah, there's lots of room in those freight elevators. the victim, who also worked with him, is in the Organized Crime Control Bureau, reports of recently, immediately after it happened, and the police sources stated the substance was splattered on her, was tested, and determined to be in semen. The police sources said it had not been determined if it was his or his semen or not. Like, you know, I know people who would do me a favor. I don't know anybody who would do me so much a favor as say, hey, you want to, you know, could you give me a little of your semen? I want to throw it on this girl because I like her. What does this guy think he's doing? Marking territory? And I hate to break it to him. If you're trying to get her pregnant, throwing it on her from across the room, it doesn't work that way. You might want to go back to those training films. You know, so this is what happens if this is how you get an STD. Well, this is also how you get a woman pregnant. You know, you don't throw it on them. You save that for the porno movies. But that's they don't get pregnant from that either, usually. I mean, not in that way. Connie, your thoughts?
You know, generally this kind of behavior, Cesar Millan suggests that if you have dominance problems with your dog, you need to be more calm, assertive, and set rules and boundaries. Don't force affection and give your dog a job. But I don't know. I don't know if that would work with in this case.
I don't think. I've stirred demons over you. Dog was like, what the fuck is this? Lick it off.
I think I actually read in a subsequent article too that they eventually did get a sample from the officer in question, and it was determined that yeah, it was his. So, you know, I guess he sat there and he thought, well, I really like this gal. How can I show her? Should I buy her flowers? You know, get some chocolate, ask her out. Maybe hump her leg. No, that would be too weird.
Well, he's the leg humping for Dawkins' dog. He's good at that. So I've heard. Just saying.
Nice.
Yeah, well, you know, I have also heard people who live in New York lament that the IQ test that they have for the police officers in New York, they don't want them above a certain IQ. that's what you get.
Yeah, that's a good point here. We had a couple comments from here, the chat room here. Dawkins said, you can't throw semen at somebody and not expect any comeback.
Nice.
Tarvian said, throwing semen at someone is called seagulling. There's a new title on my brain I didn't need to know. Thank you, Tarvian. I didn't.
Wow, that's almost a show title now. It's almost
stuff that Packard did not need to know.
Yep.
Paul, your thoughts?
Well, as is often the case with things like this, I try to find the angle that no one else is going to come up with. So. And my mind immediately goes to science. Now, I produce semen, and I don't know about anybody else's semen, but the consistency of mine doesn't lend itself to throwing it on someone. and not only that, but at the consistency that it is, the quantity that I'd have to be able to effectively throw it on someone is enormous. Like, how long has this guy been saving this up? Like, three times a day. You know, it's like, wow, dude, get a job, get a life, get a pet. And then the other thing is, if it's not the consistency I would expect it to be. Does that mean he's had a vasectomy, or he should, you know, sign up with the Livestrong Foundation, or what? I don't know.
Dawkins suggests that maybe he had it in a bottle at the canteen fridge.
Oh. He doesn't like you. I don't like you either. You better watch yourself. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
He had quite a, if as you suggested, he had quite a lart. And we kind of, which touches on somebody in the chat room, Torvi in the chat room said, is that a super soaker in your pants? No, that's just a super soaker. that would take a lot. You'd have to quit your job and do that every day for like, I don't know, for years just to fill it up. A super soaker?
That's love.
That's a lot of love. That's a lot of love.
By Nicolette Larson. Up to number 4 this week with a bullet.
Which is a projectile, which
indeed, you know, it is.
If she had been, but the thing is, if she had been wearing her spermicide shield, it probably would have stopped. It would have probably stopped it.
Oh.
I'm sure she brought it on herself, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the way they say these guys think is like, well, she brought it on herself. She you know, she smiled at me. So I had to, you know, like, ejaculate all over her. What? What?
It's classy with a capital K.
Yeah.
Sadly, this is probably the latest in a long string of rejections that this guy's had, too.
I bet.
Yep.
Wow, this guy.
I can't imagine why.
And see, the thing is that he previously had told coworkers that he liked her. So that's why he did it, obviously, you know. Oh, I like her. Let me show her how much I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I hate to see what he does if he actually doesn't like somebody. Ugh.
And, you know, there's another thought. Okay, so he's walking around with this vessel of splooge, like walking around the office. Is it open so that it's ready? He can fling it on her, or does he just got a handful of it? And if it is open and exposed, I mean, everybody in the room's got to be like, "Who just came in their pants?"
I was thinking along the same lines, like, "Hey, what's Bill coming out? He's coming out of the bathroom. He's got his hand all cupped up. What the hell's wrong with him?" Like, don't go and shake his hand.
Either one.
Well, now I really hope he wasn't storing it in the fridge. Can you imagine?
Goes in there on his 15-minute break. Got a little milk bottle. Hunched over the toilet.
I don't understand why some guys. I mean, I'm a guy. Paul's a guy. I'm sure this never occurred to either one of us to do shit like this. I mean, hey, I'm proud of my sperm. I'm not that proud of it. I need to fling it on people. No. Here, have some sperm.
I'm not even proud of mine. It embarrasses me at every turn.
It says here the sergeant was also assigned to a PSA 9. I'm not sure what PSA 9 is, which serves as a housing developments in the Queens. And was suspended on June 17th, according to the police sources. So he's been on suspension for some time. I'm betting it's with pay. I want to bet you it's with pay. Now that kind of burns me up. You throw a splooge on somebody, you gotta stay home, and we're gonna pay you. Okay. I guess you go make some more.
When you said he was at a housing development, the first time you ran through that, it sounded like you said for the Queens.
Yeah, and I did say kind of for the Queens.
I was going to say, well, that explains a lot. You know, he's a little bit out there.
Torvi in the chair just did the math. Somebody does math on the show. I can't do math. I need a calculator. He said, on average, it would take, okay, guys, cross your legs, 350 ejaculations to fill a super soaker with a 1 liter chamber. So, I'm sorry. By number seven, if you're doing it consistently, I think you're going to start getting some peelage of skin. I'm just saying. Even with lube, you're going to get some peelage.
Yeah. And if you don't have a sufficient refractory time, then you're going to be just – it's just going to be seminal fluid. There's going to be no sperm in it.
Right.
Which is no fun at all.
Yeah.
Where's the fun in that? I mean, if you're going to fling it on somebody, you know, you want the quality stuff.
Karn's in the chat room here bragging. He said, that would only take me like a month to do that. Okay. There's an image we didn't need to know. Thanks, Karn.
More stuff we didn't need to know.
Yeah. Well, I've got that ice pick around here somewhere. I'm just going to poke that part of my brain right out.
Just don't fling it on anybody, Paul.
No.
Dawkins, he said, there's a difference between the Heimlich maneuver and attempting rape, according to the judge. Okay. Oh, I don't even know where to go from here. Oh, there's some people. Human race is funny. The human race is just too funny sometimes.
Yeah.
You say I'm always talking. Yeah, whatever you say.
And we have some comments from our last episode, which was episode 260, because we did take a week off for the holiday, and that was our Okay, Let's Talk segment, which we do every. Starting this year anyway, where we pick out one topic and then we just kind of talk about it and talk it to death until we beat it, until there's no more life in it. And then we pump it back up and talk about it some more.
Resuscitate, damn it.
We resuscitate.
Then we dress it up like Pat Robertson and listen to it.
It's really fun. You should come sometime because Pat's a puppet.
Yes.
I don't know if you really want to put your hands
in. I don't think so either. But our comment is from Wise Apple, and she said, in Ohio, you can marry if you're gay, but your employer can still fire you for being gay. Thank you, Wise Apple. That's really sad that we have this problem in this country where, you know, we just last couple weeks ago, the Supreme Court said gay people can get married. I've been, even though I'm straight, and I know Joe doesn't know.
you're such a tease.
I know, I'm such a tease with Joe. But the thing is, though, even though I'm straight, I was for gay marriage. Because everybody deserves to be miserable. I mean.
Yes.
Now they can do it legally. Now they can
think
do it legally.
Think of the divorce lawyers, you know.
Yeah. Now, that reminds me. Just recently, I heard one of these right-wing nut jobs. They say, "Well, the divorce rate's going to triple, or double anyway." It's like, well, if everybody can get married, yeah, some people are going to get divorced. I mean, just because you're gay or straight doesn't mean that your marriage is always going to be perfect. That's just kind of a no-brainer, you know.
Well, I would be willing to bet you the divorce rate is going to be the same. It's just going to be the number of divorces is going to double.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Or proportional to the number of new marriages. And yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, anyway. But we're going to get out of here. Paul, you're welcome to stick around with us for after the after show. And if you come to the live show, which you really should at vonlive.tv/PackardPokesat, and hang out with us sometime on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. Pacific. Nobody lives in the mountain time, so I don't care. If you live in the mountain time, be sure you shut the light off when you leave.
What is that, Indian Standard Time?
set your oven to slightly higher and you cook for longer times.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Paul, I want to thank you again for joining us here on Packard Pokesat. And again, I know you said it before, but do you want to give a shout out for anybody in particular or for a particular channel at all?
Well, I how about you?
Hey, Packard Pokesat. Hey, great.
Gosh, I don't know. Jason Harding. I can't remember the spelling of his name, but
nobody can.
Yeah, but if you search for Opinionville, I think you'll find him.
Yes, we had him on the show as a guest a while back too. So,
yeah.
Paul, again, thank you for joining us tonight here on the show, and we'll try to get you on again as soon as we possibly can.
All right. Well, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, and we'll
Very
be
nice
back.
To meet you.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Likewise.
We'll be back next week with our short show, and that's our half-hour montage. And we'll see you next week. This has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.